from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper. You are Live from the Path.
Listening to Live from the Path, coming to you from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. It is delightful to be with you if you are a delightful person. You need to think about that.
I don't think I'm a delightful person. Inappropriate usually.
Who? You say something inappropriate?
No, Mike does. I just wanted to say something.
It's good to point it out. In absentia, Mike is likely doing something inappropriate, saying something he should not have.
Probably true.
Okay.
Hey, man.
Let's say.
I think I need to be more careful about the graphic tees that I wear.
Ooh.
Like, I've always just bought them when they fit. Like, not, there really hasn't been like a whole like application process to whether or not I'll wear a shirt because I like the thing on it.
Yeah.
But it's become apparent to me very recently that people really care what's on your shirt and they think it's an invitation to talk to you about the thing.
Yeah.
And like, I've got some shirts that are like, oh, haha, that's kind of funny. Or, oh, that's kind of cool. He's nerdy and likes that. I'm wearing a NASA shirt right now.
Yeah.
People talk to me about space today. And I did not mean to invite any conversations about space. One person had a whole conversation with me about how they used to put NASA stickers on street signs. Oh. And how it's still pretty cool because there's that one random railroad crossing sign that they put a NASA sticker on like 8 years ago. And they just haven't taken that sticker down. Oh, it's been like 8 years. And that was the most entertaining thing that happened to them.
You've never looked at a shirt and go, I want this, and I want people to talk to me about it?
I mean, yes, I have. Like, I have a shirt that says strong and pretty, and it's a stupid shirt. It's from, like, it's a strong man. Like, there's a strong man that he's a really cool dude, and that's his brand, is strong and pretty. And I think it's funny, because I don't think I'm pretty, and I'm not strong. And so it's like, ha, ha, blah, blah, blah. And I, like, have Incredible Hulk shirts, and I love that comic book character.
Yeah.
But, like, this one I just threw on. I didn't buy this shirt. My wife bought it for me for my birthday. And I think that was also because she found it at the Burlington and it fit me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the extent of it.
When you get to the big and tall section, the shirts get like the quality goes down quickly.
I mean, they got to put a lot more material in those shirts and keep the cost down.
I eat people. I mean, there's always say dumb things.
That's true.
Can you say anything like normal, like NASA or something? But
they have them. I'm wearing one.
That's good. That's good.
Because this absolutely is a big and tall shirt. I can promise you that.
Okay. All right, good. Well, if you have any shirt regrets, like, okay, no joke. If you've ever purchased a shirt and you thought this is a great idea, and then once you got it, wore it a few times, you're like, I never should have bought this. Let us know on the Live from the Path complaint line, 515-517-0085. Call or text. And extra points if you give me a picture. Like,
oh, man.
Send me the hot pic of this shirt, preferably with you in it.
You can expect a text.
I really miss my grade school. God loves me. I'm thumbbuddy special. I have a big thumbprint with a face on it.
Oh. Did you pick
what?
That?
I did. I thought it was great. And no one else did. But I thought it was wonderful.
My parents let me buy and wear a shirt that said, I beat anorexia when I was in high school. I was a 350-pound 16-year-old that wore a shirt that said, I beat anorexia. And I thought it was the greatest thing ever. I was like, well, because I'm fat. And people would be like, oh, of course you did. And I'm like, this is a conversation starter if I've ever seen one. I can't believe my parents were like, yeah, that seems right.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, you're going to wear that to school?
Son.
Go ahead.
They'll love you.
Enjoy your education.
All right.
You sound like Oprah there.
Hit us up on the Bob Eisenlauer Life from the Beth complaint line, 515-517-0085. And just before we move, this is the time to bail. If you don't, this is what you heard from the show, and you're like, oh, it has to get better. I cannot promise that.
So
I warned you, now is the time if you want to bail from the program.
Nobody's left.
Now, if you're going to stay, we actually have a pretty good show for you tonight. So Ethan Huffy is in studio, and I know Ethan, and I was super interested. He went on a mission trip to Peru, and it just sounded cool. And so I thought we'd have him in here. He's got a chance to kind of tell you what that what the mission trip was about. How he got into some sort of bet.
Oh.
I don't know. Like, most mission trips don't resolve in some sort of – it's not quite gambling, but, like, it's an enticement for erratic behavior.
I was going to say, did you get into some kind of Peruvian gambling ring?
Not quite a gambling ring, but...
Oh, good, okay.
He's been using dodgy words like it might be a Peruvian gambling ring.
Ooh.
And so, just listen, Booba, listen to me.
That seems shiesty.
When he tells the story,
yeah,
just listen for places of which it might mean Peruvian gambling
ring. Oh, I've been involved in a few,
yeah.
So I'll recognize the signs.
Okay, yeah, so I mean, just, he's going to tell the story on one level, and then just, I want you to be open to it might be...
I'll know the subtext. You know, I'll understand. Happening. Yep, we're good.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, Ethan's going to catch up with us and tell us about that, the experience. Things, you know, oftentimes when we do like share weeks at our church, and the point is to, like, after you go through two or three books of the chapters in the Bible, like, what do you not want to leave behind? You didn't just have an experience and didn't just hear a bunch of stuff, like sharing what you don't want to leave, you want to take with you, basically.
Yeah, right.
And so that's part of the reason, you know, we talked to Aiden here a few shows ago, and I think same thing with Ethan, is that, like, when you have experiences like that, there are moments for sure, and then there's some things that, like, I don't want to have to say, hey, it changed me forever, but there are things where you're like, I want to take that with me. And so, anyway, I'm excited to hear Ethan's story and this gambling thing that we've talked about.
Oh, yeah, we'll figure
it out.
Seems
pretty awesome.
We're going to suss this out.
Also, we're going to play around a secular versus Solomon.
Yes!
Now, we're in a real pickle.
It's been forever.
Because Mike wasn't able to make it tonight, and so... he's usually our stock solid scorekeeper.
Yeah.
Like, totally trustworthy, unbiased, can be totally relied on to give a quality score. And so, Emma Foost is in, and I think you're going to be keeping score.
Okay, I can do that.
Assess points. You understand how Mike does it, and so...
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
What's your Venmo?
Probably a really good thing that you had her do that, because I was already figuring out a way to set up a Peruvian gambling ring as we were talking about the point system, so I'm going to own up to that right now and say that was a wise choice.
Yes, yeah, I diverted it from you. Okay, so we'll play Secular versus Solomon. If you're not familiar, we're going to give you a bit of wisdom, a proverb. And here's the thing. Oftentimes I hear people saying, here's my wisdom, and it's something Ben Franklin said. I'm like, okay, I mean, it's not that Ben Franklin can't have wisdom, but, like, I do need you to, like, when you say things like God helps those who help themselves, it's not a scriptural thing. And so we need to make sure that when you're saying stuff, you didn't pick it up from a desk calendar or something. And so I'm going to give you a bit of wisdom that's either from the scriptures or it is a secular bit of wisdom. And you need to tell me whether it is secular or Solomon. Solomon is the option if it's a Bible bit of wisdom, even if it didn't come from necessarily Solomon. And if it's secular, we got to root them out. We got to see where this wisdom's coming from. And so I want the country of origin. We're writing them down. I'm taking names and proverbs, and we're going to go and have some conversations with people.
Got it.
Okay? Ooh. So, and then we'll provide the points. Also, we're going to give some advice on Dear Live from the Path. And I don't know, Booba, have you perused these yet today?
I've perused a couple. I appreciate that you used a word that might have Peru in it as well. Good job.
Yeah.
Got a theme.
I've looked. It appears as though people are having relationship problems, as always. And it's relationship issues that they're having where they're in the relationship. They're trying not to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
Or they're privy to a relationship that they wish they weren't around.
Okay.
And so we're gonna have a couple different things that we're going to need to talk through, and people need our help.
Bring it to the expert.
Yeah. Are they being Peru-ish?
I don't know if I would go as far as to say Peru-ish, but they are certainly being reserved.
Okay. That makes sense to me. I love preserves, like apricots and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. That's true.
All right.
I'm going to get a shirt that shows the difference between jam, jelly, and preserves.
That I would not wear. Okay. all right. Let's here's what I know. I know some of you are listening and you're like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. I hate your program. I want to hear from Ethan. So let's do that. Let me give you a chance. You can listen, and then you can't bail because he's going to stay. He's going to do the secular versus Solomon, and he's going to give advice. And so you do have to listen to the whole program, but I hear what you're saying. Move on with it, friends. That's what we're going to do. So let's talk to Ethan. So let me get you a good look at him so that you can know what he is in case you're taking him in on the video.
Hello.
So hello. He's talking to himself in the screen. He's like, hello, fella.
Hello, me.
So Ethan, tell me a little bit about, like, how did you end up on this trip to Peru?
So basically, this summer, my mom, or it was like end of school year, my mom asked me, or she kind of, she didn't really ask me. She kind of told me that I'm going on with her.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. And I didn't really know what to expect, but I'm glad I went, and it was really cool.
What's the premise of this trip? Like, what's going on in Peru that you are helping out with?
So the pastor of Grace Church he used to do, like, every other year or somewhat like that. And he goes to Peru, and takes a group of people and they go hike the mountains.
Yep.
And go into the villages, like way far that are secluded from a lot of other people.
Yep.
And hands out Bibles, tells about the gospel and stuff like that, and just tries to talk to people and gives a sermon usually at everyone and stuff like that. So it was really cool to go, yeah.
Nice. So I
just want to know, did your mom go on this trip too?
Yeah.
We shouldn't just send you off. Like, good luck, son.
Go to boot camp.
Yeah, okay.
So are there, I don't know, maybe I don't think about this very often, about the places in the world where, like, Scripture is so accessible to me in a million different ways, mm-hmm. and there are people who don't have a Bible that they can reference. Now, is there, like, I don't know, how big are the villages? 20 people, 200 people?
I'd say probably 100 to 200 people.
Okay.
I would guess. I don't know. Some of them are a little bigger, and some of them are a little smaller. It kind of depends.
Sure. Yep. Do you have? Go ahead, Booba.
No, I was just.
So they can read.
Yeah, they can. They. It's actually, when I got there, it was a little like the villages are a lot more civilized than I had originally expected. Like I was expecting like tree houses and like stuff.
Yeah,
not,
right.
Not tree houses.
But, like, no, I know what you're saying.
Like homemade built houses, but it was they had like actual structures and the government like came in and did a little work some, and so they had like actual bathrooms and stuff like that. And most of them had running water and electricity too. So,
oh, no kidding. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're not, it's not completely like off the grid type of situation.
Yeah.
Were they familiar with Christianity and Bibles up to this point? And you're providing supplementation to that, or is it brand new to some of them?
It kind of depended. Like some of the villages we went to, they had like a church in the village and stuff, but some of them they didn't really. And they just had like we just set up a, usually every night when we went there, we would set up a screen,
yep,
and play a video in their native language, and they would to watch, and then we would go after at night and talk to them,
yep,
and sing some songs and stuff, and yeah. So it was kind of depended on the village, I guess, but yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Did you have like what were the responses to the video?
I don't speak the language, but.
It sounded like they hated it.
It seemed ecstatic. Some were furious.
Yeah, they were interested, but they. I think it would have been like I think they didn't get as many people as we were expecting because like I don't know like 10 years ago people would have been I think more intrigued I guess.
Yep.
Was it the Jesus film?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
You've seen this Peruvian propaganda film?
Oh, they go everywhere. They have it in so many languages. We did a Shona one in Africa. Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen it in English? Has anybody who like taken this thing in?
Take it in a native tongue?
Yeah, it's like a 70s Jesus movie. Oh. But then they just keep putting different languages.
Like, and
just
translated it in more languages?
Wait, Did you see? Was it like a bad Japanese film where like the guy's mouth was moving, but the different?
Oh boy! Oh, that's fantastic.
We had people actually walk out in Africa. They're like, no.
We did the bad lip reading Jesus style.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So wait, Dan? Have you done this recently? Like when you were in Zimbabwe?
Like 4 years ago, probably. One of the guys like, we got to do a Jesus film. I'm like, oh, we don't want to do a Jesus film. No, we got to do it because he read an article. Everybody loves it, and yeah, it was like people we had to quit. We had to stop it early because people were just like,
interesting.
And this is in a remote village as well, but they were more than impressed. But it depends. Everybody's different.
Well, I mean, and it sounds like again as the cultures change or they get introduced to other things, like there's no reason to believe that 10 years ago, it wasn't. It was helpful. Yeah.
It's been great, a great thing. I mean, great tool. It really has been. But
interesting. Okay, yeah. Okay. What type of reaction? Like, so you showed the video, and then were there other? When you said you were singing songs in parts of the gatherings, like were people kind of engaging and talking to the? Was there a local pastor or anything there?
There. So the people we went with, we flew into Lima at first. Which is like the biggest, like a really big city.
Yep.
And we had to take an 8-hour bus ride to another city, which is called Huaraz.
Yep.
It's spelled with an H, but, and there was some missionaries. So there was a missionary there from, her name's Rachel, and she used to live in Ohio, and she moved to Peru a while back and then married a guy named Adi.
Mm-hmm.
And they have two kids there, and they, run like an organization where they do like missions and treks and stuff in the mountains. So Pastor Phil knows them, and so that's kind of how he's been doing a lot of his treks. And then another group that they go with is like AWE, I think it's called, and they or AWI, but they go to they're the ones who actually translated the Bible into the Quechuan language.
Yep.
And so they do a lot of big things around there in Peru. And so they kind of had the Jesus film and everything.
Yep.
And so we would go. So it was like a big group of like probably, there was probably 10 of them plus our group.
Yep.
And so we would go to the villages and they would hike with us and stuff. And yeah.
So when it comes to it sounds like you were meeting up with some missionaries that lived in Peru and are from there, you know, know the language, things like that. What kind of things were they asking from the volunteers? Like, what were they wanting you guys to help them get involved in when it came to the actual hikes and being in the villages and doing that kind of stuff? Yeah. How were you guys getting specifically involved there?
We would like they were, so people were surprised to see us, obviously, but because they haven't seen like white people, I guess. But
it was the tone of your skin.
They called us gringos. And so they were actually one time or multiple times, they were taking pictures of us as we were walking the trail. They're like photographing the tourist. Yeah. So
did the kids come up and feel your skin to see like
No, but
it's like, oh, they look different. They gotta feel different.
That happened to you, Dan?
Oh, all the time. Every time we go.
Albino Dan.
That did happen to me in the Dominican with my hair.
Oh really?
That kids really liked my hair.
Oh, yeah. I suppose you're the only blonde-headed person around there.
Yeah.
The kids in Madagascar would go crazy for my wife's just hair and the fact that she was super fair-skinned, and then people would like yell at her on the streets because she was so white. Like they were just like, "Hey, white lady."
I mean, it's just curiosity. You know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyways, we were there to like we passed out Bibles, obviously, and then like we helped. We sang songs and.
Did you take like a solo?
No, we had this like this song called I Victoria that we would sing. It was like I Victoria. It was like, I don't know. It means like I don't even remember. There's victory. There is victory, and then it's like in the blood of Jesus Christ, but it's like all in Spanish.
Yep.
And then there was another song we sang like Amazing Grace, and then the Spanish speakers, which we had two other missionaries or like a missionary and his daughter were there with our trek.
Yep.
They live in Lima, but we needed two more people, so they decided to come with us.
Yep.
And so that was good, too. They spoke Spanish, so they could sing the Spanish parts of the song. Nice, but nice.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Had you taken Spanish before you went to this thing?
I thought I was decent at Spanish, but when you get there and you're like in the language, you realize you don't know that much.
Especially in the mountains, and it's a different dialect than the city. So yeah.
Emma, did you have that in the Dominican Republic?
Yeah, I could I could get along with what I knew generally, if the person I was talking to knew some English. But there was one girl who I talked to a lot and she didn't know any English really. Like she knew a few words and I knew probably about as much Spanish as I knew. And so we just used Google Translate and typed on our phones.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Like I could kind of understand what's like, I knew words and stuff and phrases, but like, it's like hard to communicate cause I just forget stuff.
And, yeah. We're right.
Well, they talk so fast.
Yeah.
You know, and we do too. I mean, but
yeah, right. Yeah, I was going to say we would do the same.
Like, I don't know what you're saying. Yeah.
What kind of things were most surprising to you about the culture, about the experience that you had, about like the trip that you took specifically? Like anything that you were just flat out not expecting that just shook you?
Well, obviously I was expecting it to be a lot more like not as civilized, which
right. Yep.
Like they were way up in the mountains, but most of them had roads that you could drive to the villages. But we hiked most of them because we like stopped along the way and stuff.
Did you carry the Bibles with you?
No. So we had a truck that like carried all our luggage and stuff. That was nice.
Oh, I was really hoping it was a donkey.
They did have donkeys, but they didn't carry all. That would have been too many donkeys. They used to have donkeys and multiple of them died, like fell off cliffs and died.
Oh.
So, and there's roads now, so they just choose to use a truck.
Oh, I would boy, that's surprising to me. I was led to believe donkeys are extremely sure-footed and do not just careen off the
unless they're weighed down by Bibles.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a sermon illustration no one uses. Anyway, under the weight of the gospel, I fell off a cliff.
Sure-footed donkeys is an awesome band name.
Okay.
We did have two donkeys with us and also two llamas. Which the llamas didn't carry anything, but they were like, they got a lot of people's attention, and the kids loved them, and everybody loved them.
You brought attention, llamas?
Yeah.
They, like, people. They weren't beasts of burden, they were beasts of attraction?
Technically, they were like in training to be able to carry stuff in the future, but they were like, they mainly brought them to like bring attention.
Yeah, show llamas.
Yeah.
Wow. I would have, that would have broken my expectations of like, hey, we've got these llamas and donkeys, and they're very important. It's like, no, those llamas are literally just for show.
Yeah.
They are for people to go, why do you have, they were, llamas?
Some of them, or one of them was pretty naughty too, so.
But the naughty llama?
Like, hold it on. Would, it would just, in what way?
Well, like one of them was on a leash, and then the naughty one just like could go wherever it wanted. But
maybe they've chosen to leash the wrong one.
Leash the naughty one.
Leash showing the naughty llama. Yeah.
That's not good.
It would just like run around, and it was funny, but yeah.
So you have a show llama that's specifically for show that is unruly and runs around,
yeah.
Which is exactly what I would want in a show llama if I'm being real honest about
this
situation.
It's a gospel presentation.
It sounds like that llama did exactly what it was supposed to do. Because like a llama that's running free, I'm much more attracted to be like, what's going on with that llama over there? It seems to be breaking their expectations of it.
Yeah.
Great illustration, though. Don't be the dirty llama.
That's right. He's unrepentant.
Don't
look
be
at
the dirty llama. That unrepentant llama. Oh, of course.
He needs baptized again.
You know, it's interesting as I've listened to people that go on these kind of trips and stuff like that, I'm always interested to hear, you know, what were your expectations as you go to this and what was different than that? It sounds like you said, you were expecting them to be less civilized from the perspective of like not having actual houses, not having, you know, indoor plumbing, stuff like that.
It was also cool. Like everyone was so like willing to get, like they were willing to get stuff and they were so eager to like get a Bible of their own and stuff like that, like stuff that we just take for granted here.
Yeah.
Is like, yeah.
I always, that one hits me, I think every so often, is I think how much, if I didn't have it at my disposal, how much would you cherish it? Would you hold on to it and be like, and protect it? Not because it's God himself, right? But like it just contains the words of life that like I so passively be like, well, I might read that today, or I might scroll through it, or I might get it up on any particular medium. And like it's I think to my detriment that it is, we tried to solve good problems by making it so accessible. But I think I've also then allowed it to interact with it too passively. And there's something I don't know. Maybe there's a privilege in going, well, like I just want to be like them, where they want the, like obviously the rest of their lives are often more difficult than mine in those ways. And so it's shallow a little, but like I don't want to say reverence. I want to say how important it is and what it means to them. Yeah. I think I miss sometimes.
Maybe we put a false guilt on people when we look at scripture that talks about, you know, panting, you know, what's the psalm? My soul pants for you.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, but with the word of God and stuff, that it's like sweet as honey and stuff. It's so common to us, but you think about it to them or the people this was written to originally. I mean, they didn't just have 17 Bibles in their house,
right? Right.
So it really was like, man, I got an opportunity right now to engage the word of God. How often does that happen? So it really was like something to look forward to.
Yep.
And we're like, didn't the deuce do that last night or something? I don't know. I mean,
right?
I can get on my phone anytime I want, so why do it? You know, I mean,
I do remember, I don't remember the exact circumstances, but I remember it was like within the last 10 years, it was an extreme amount of stress in my life and like probably things going on in other people's lives around me that made me nervous and anxious and stuff. And I remember thinking, like, I just want to hear the words of Jesus. And like, I probably read my Bible, you know, I love and follow Jesus, but like probably mostly academically. I'm collecting information, I'm understanding it, thinking through it. But there was just something where I had a Bible accessible to me and I thought, I want to read the words of Jesus. And it didn't even matter what the words were. Like Jesus was going to speak and I wanted to hear it. And that's probably the closest in my current circumstances of which it felt like there was something so powerful about the word of God, and I knew I needed it, but it didn't even matter what it was.
Sure, yeah.
And so, I don't know, closest equivalent I have, I guess.
No, I think that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was like really cool because a lot of like the older people especially didn't speak Spanish as well.
Yep.
Like they spoke Quechuan, which is like the native language in the mountains there, and they had never seen like a Quechuan Bible before, which is what the guys that we went with, they translated the whole thing and just recently got it finished. So it was really cool. Like they're like, oh, it's in Quechuan, and they were like really surprised and really grateful for it.
That's such an awesome deal. You guys, it's been a long time, but we talked to a lady, Mary Wastey, who was with doing Bible translation somewhere. And
was it Papua New Guinea?
Maybe.
Sounds right.
But like, I just remember thinking, like, what a that'll last forever. Like the impact of the accessibility of God's word and the people who take time and the faithfulness it takes to try to figure out, like language, even Greek to English is not easy. Like we're still talking about some of these translation issues, you know, and like what a cool gift and a way to spend your talents to open that up to someone where it feels like Jesus is not just something that someone else is saying to you from outside. It's in your language, so it feels like something that's for you as opposed to coming to take you.
Well, and I think what a beautiful responsibility to have in that situation of, like, I get to represent the living word of God into this language that is different than what it was spoken in. And that accessibility that they're offering in and that closeness, like you said, is super, super cool to be able to be a part of. So that's just crazy.
The guy that, like, actually translated it mostly all of it was him, and he was like with us on the trek, and his name was Yapo, I think, but he it was really cool. Like he's like probably 70 something, I think, and he, like, it was cool to see him like take his work that he's worked his whole life for and give it to people.
Yeah.
And then also, like, he was talking to people in Quechuan and stuff after, and it was cool.
That's pretty cool.
Gosh, yeah, imagine that, like working on something like that for so long and then seeing it become fruitful and like handing it to somebody whose eyes just light up at the fact that they're able to read Jesus's words for the first time in a language that they've known since they were a child.
Yeah.
Like, just that's beautiful.
Yeah. So how did you get into gambling in Peru?
It wasn't really gambling.
Oh,
it was more like
that's the first sign. That's the first sign.
Did
denial.
You hear what he said?
I don't know if it was really gambling, if you will.
Okay, you tell your part of the story.
It was basically a win-win for me, but
as gambling can be. Go ahead.
So basically, we were at this village just one night, and like there's no showers or anything there, obviously. But so there was this, like, this was a nicer village. They had like a concrete, nice little runway of water that's like running from the glaciers.
Oh yeah,
running, it runs straight through the village. And so, like, I guess, I don't know what the people use it there for, but probably bathing and stuff too.
Yeah,
and get their water from there. But it was like really cold, so everyone was like, or a lot of people were standing in it and like taking their shoes off in our group. And it was getting dark, it was getting cold out
because
the sun, when the sun sets, it gets freezing.
Like, how cold are we talking?
Like, down to 40, probably. Actually, it was like 45, 50 probably.
Okay.
At night. It's freezing at night. But then when the sun's up, it's like so hot.
So it's pretty wide range of temperatures in this joint. Okay.
Because there's like no atmosphere.
Yep.
So it's like, based on where the sun is, it's hot or cold. Gotcha. But anyway, it was getting dark, so it was kind of getting more cold. But somebody said, one guy in a group, his name's Dave.
Yeah.
He's kind of a wild guy.
Uh-huh.
But
that's consistent with Dave's. I find them to be instigators of trouble.
That's true.
Yeah, okay, continue.
But he got in the water fully earlier, like before this.
Okay.
And he was like, hey, I want you to get in with me. I'll give you $20. And then I was like, oh, it's freezing. And so he wanted me to get in fully, lay down in it.
Yep.
Which it's like 3 inches deep, but anyway.
Lay down, like flat.
Like lay down, yeah, and get completely drenched.
Oh, nice. Okay, wait, hold on real quick. Are these like Peruvian dollars? Like it's really 5 cents or something?
No, soles are the Peruvian dollars, but he was giving me, he said $20.
Straight greenbacks.
Yeah, and then, and then somebody else was next nearby, and he's like, I'll give you another 10. And then somebody else is like, I'll give you another 10. And then somebody else is like, I'll give you 40 soles or something like that. And then that's like about $50. And then I was like, all right, I'll take it for $50.
Wait, would you have done it for 30?
Probably.
Dave and company overpaid.
But I'll take the 50.
Okay.
And then so I was like, okay. And then me and Dave both laid down in it. And then we're like 3, 2, 1, go. We laid down. It's freezing. The water's like running over my hair.
Uh-huh.
And then My mom was like yelling, but I rolled over.
Did she
my
know
mom was yelling?
Did she know 50 bones were at stake?
Yeah. Oh. But and then I rolled over, and then it started pushing me down the river a little bit because it was kind of slick on the bottom.
Right.
But it really, like the adrenaline and stuff, it didn't feel that cold, honestly.
Oh yeah.
But and
you
then
can warm yourself with $50.
So I had to do it for like 10 seconds or something, and then I got up. But I was like, it wasn't even cold. So we decided to run down to the, like, down a ways, like 100 feet. It was like a deep pool.
Yeah.
And we ran down, and just for fun.
Yeah.
Because basically I already earned the $50, but just to prove it to them that I could.
You went all the way in.
Yeah.
So how deep was it?
It was probably about, it was like up to my shoulders almost, I think.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe a little deeper, but we like dunked all the way in. And
nice.
Was, yeah. Okay. But then when I was drying off and changing, I found like two worms on me. So,
yep,
sounds like a gamble.
Yeah, that's called the Peruvian
here,
plunge.
So.
It's called the Peruvian plunge. Yeah. They only had to pay $50 to watch you make a fool of yourself and get worms on you. So
it was
I think you lost that gambling.
I do it again.
I believe that's how Herod had the worms originally.
That's right.
8 months later, ate him from the inside out. So yeah. You know.
He did the Peruvian plunge?
Well.
Herod Antipas is like, do not go in there.
Right.
For 50 cents.
Herod the Great did that a long time ago.
But it's 50 bucks.
Wait, do I have the right hair? Agrippa.
Is it I don't Agrippa? Remember which
who's
one.
Who's like this, with the silver? It's one of the A. I think it's one of the A Herods.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Antipas.
That's what I thought it was Antipas.
Yeah, yeah, you're okay. Right.
All right.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, let's not do a quiz on Herods.
Yeah, we'll have to go back. I'm usually pretty good, but I get too many Herods in my mind.
Hand
I can't
geography.
Keep them straight. Yeah.
They all blend together.
Archelaus. Okay.
Herods.
Okay, so what of the experiences, like, is there anything where you're like, I want to remember this particular part, or this is changed how I see things in relation to the gospel or to people or something like that. Is there anything where you're like, I want to make sure I keep this with me after that trip?
The people there are really nice, obviously. But I would say just like being grateful for like what we have here mm-hmm. compared to like, it's like a completely different culture there and like, or like their living situations and stuff.
Yeah.
Especially like in Lima, the big city.
Yeah.
A lot of it's just like run down and just like they're not living it in a good area.
Right.
And they're like all packed in there and it's looks pretty bad. But
there's like several million there, isn't there?
I think there's about 10 or 12 million.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. There was a pretty good chunk of people there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say I had this similar reaction to when I was in Ethiopia. Is one of the values, I think, in short-term mission trips, the thing that keeps it from being like Jesus tourism is like it does actually take a little bit to shock you out of your surroundings, like to recognize the things that we've gotten used to are things that much of the world is not used to. And I think Ethan, I like your thoughts here, because like I think there's two reactions. There's a gratefulness to it. And then there's a recognition that, like, regardless of how grateful I can be for my current situation, I do have to deal with the reality that there are other people who are living differently than that.
Yep.
And so, and it's not God, the Holy Spirit will have you do interact with that in different ways for different people, mm-hmm. but it probably is not okay for me to be just like, oh, well, sucks to be you. Like, there's something about that stirs or opens up things that you're just simply not aware of. And I think there's something about experiencing that and seeing people. I don't remember the exact guy, but I was talking to a guy in Ethiopia, and like it just occurred to me. I mean, this is I'm here on a trip. This is this guy's everyday life. Like, mm-hmm. this would be like someone coming up to me and I'm walking downtown between wherever I went for lunch and back to my office or something like that. And his life is marked. His day to day life is markedly different than mine. But like the things that he cares about, the worries he has in the world, the standard of living he has is a lot of stuff is the same. Our lives are actually a lot more the same than they are different, even with the circumstances around me. And so, like, I don't know. I think that was one of the things that I kept with me, is to see not only those types of things going on around the world, but like it's even it's in your own community.
Exactly.
That's like that. Like Bua was talking about running to a dude. Well, by where we record the show, there's a corner when you come off the interstate where there's almost always somebody like hanging out. Or just having a sympathy for people, a grace for people that like a lot of times when we assume, you know, people have made bad decisions to get into a spot, there's a lot of times where their circumstances didn't give them a lot of freedom to do differently. And it's very apparent in some of like other countries. It's less apparent here. It's easier to go, look, every way you ended up the way you are is because you made a series of decisions. And like some of that's true, but some of it's not, and people are limited by who they were raised by and the things that they were taught. Somebody was talking about a recent conversation, and there was some friend of the family's, and like they were just going on and on about something, and I'm like, why are these people, like, why is this person just so wrong? And they were wrong about something or other. And I thought, well, like they don't really know any different. Like their parents believe a thing, and then their parents believed a thing. And, you know, so it created, there's a humility in it. And then there is a sympathy in it, and looking at people graciously and, without bringing a bunch of presupposition to the table. And that was helpful to me.
Yeah. I think that any time that I've done, a missions trip, I think the only one I ever went on was a kid. I went to, the Rosebud, Native American reservation in South Dakota. And I went and I did some work and nothing changed.
Yeah.
Nothing changed for me. I was a total Jesus tourist.
Yeah.
And it was powerful there. And I was like I met some of the kids that were in the local, like, youth detention center and all this different stuff. And like in the moment, it meant everything to me. It was like, wow, like this is such a perspective change for me. Nothing changed for me when I went home. And I regret that sometimes. And I think about that every once in a while. Like, why didn't that change anything for me? Why didn't that hit me? And it was interesting because I went to the Philippines years later as an adult for work. And I wasn't really shown much because I was whisked between my hotel and the place I was supposed to work almost every day. And that was about it. But like the things that I did see, at first I walked away with a hopelessness, interestingly enough, because like I saw so much poverty. And I saw literally like small towns of children living underneath the overpasses that like they were just there all the time because their parents had left them or whatever. And there were no orphanages for them to like stay in. They just lived underneath the road.
Yeah.
And what happened at first was this hopelessness of like, I could never make a difference in this. And like, this is happening everywhere. Like I'm here for a day. I'm here for 3 weeks. That's it. I couldn't change anything. And as I've gotten older and have tried to kind of understand that a little bit better, it's allowed me a right sizing to understand God's power in that situation.
That's right.
Of recognizing that like what I saw as hopelessness was because I didn't have faithfulness in God. I didn't see a reason to be hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
As I've grown and seen God move more and he's shown me more, like I go, God, you are literally the only thing that is big enough, is strong enough, is powerful enough to make a difference here. Mm-hmm. And you may make a difference by sending 150 me's throughout the years over here. You may send your children here to live here for extended periods of time to be your love and a neighbor to these children. But like you can work this out, and you're the only one who can. And that right sizing of that relationship is one of the greatest things that I've taken from the ability to see that kind of thing, because then it showed me in my neighborhoods that I live in.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, how do I take that hopefulness and put it here?
Yeah.
And maybe it's more likely that I'm the guy that shows up to that corner every day.
Yeah.
And I show up to that house once a week because I am here and I'm not just there for the day.
Yeah, that's right. Dan, with the years that you've been doing work in Zimbabwe, would you consider yourself more hopeful today than when you started by what you've seen?
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, that's why we keep going back to the same place is we build layers upon layers upon layers. And so I have relationships that are years and years old now. And we're able to like not meet a need that we think they have, but an actual need that they've told us like for real, like based on, I mean, just this morning, I got word from, we made a school in the orphanage that we run there. And I talked to the gal 2 weeks ago. I said, hey, give me some supplies you guys need. We were there in July and we're talking about it. I said, we can send the cash now, you know. And so I got a list of things. I thought, okay, that's really cool. You know, it's just like there's improvement in their spiritual lives and their educational experience and just in multiple areas. I just see growth. And I'm trying to choose my words carefully. It's not because like they're looking more like us, because that's not it.
Right.
It's right. But their life is improving. Their churches are developing and growing, and leadership's happening, and good things are happening.
Yep.
And it wouldn't if I just went once. I mean, but the multiple groups come. Right.
Emma, did you have a similar or a different takeaway when you were in the Dominican Republic?
I feel like I went into it expecting poverty, probably, just from, hearing other people's mission trip experiences, hearing, seeing pictures from your trip to Ethiopia. And I guess I part of it was that I'm lazy, and I had this mindset that I was like, I'm not going to come home. My mom's going to come home and be like, we need to get rid of half of our stuff right now. We live such unnecessary lives. And I was like against that. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. I love my stuff. So that was probably part of
I'll take your stuff.
But I also, I guess that I was, I saw how they lived and saw like the joy that they have and like how normal it seems. Like we did like kids VBS stuff. And, like, I've been to VBS lots of times, and, like, it seemed I have little siblings. Like, I know lots of little kids, and these are just still, like, little kids. And, like, we're playing the games, and they want the juice. And we're, like, playing the songs, and they just want the snacks. And so, it definitely sticks with you, and I feel like it does, especially even if the few months afterwards you're not, like, selling half your stuff and you getting an outhouse, like it probably still ingrains itself in you over time. Like the knowledge that how other people are living and the luck that you have and the sympathy you have for these people.
Yeah.
But then also I think the respect that you have for their ability to, have the sort of attitude you have in your current situation when you have stuff way better than they have it.
Yeah.
Or like even better attitudes the majority of the time.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we have enough to sometimes create our own blindness.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah, we think that our excess is for our joy, and it's the exact opposite a lot of times.
Yeah, I remember, and Ethan, I think this was true for you too. I think it's maybe a shared experience. I remember going to an orphanage in Ethiopia, and Dan, maybe you were out there doing it too, but like we played soccer with the kids.
That was a big thing in Peru. Like every village had a soccer field.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I enjoyed doing with the kids was like, because, like, I couldn't talk to them super well. I could say some words, but, like, playing soccer and the little kids, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And, like, they were having
good?
Fun. Some of them were pretty good, yeah. Yeah. But it was cool.
All right. Yeah. Well, Ethan, thank you. I really appreciate you coming and sharing some of your experiences with us. Very cool. If someone, I don't know, is it a trip you would recommend for people doing?
Yeah, I loved it. It was really cool to see. I would definitely recommend it, but yeah.
Well, do you need to like do a lot of hiking prep? You feel like could you walk into it cold?
I wouldn't say we really didn't do that much hiking, honestly.
Okay.
Because there was some older people with us, and so it was easy for me. But yeah, okay.
If you've
never hiked a day in your life, maybe you might need to do some hiking first.
But. Never mind. I've never once looked at a hill and went, I'd like to climb that.
I'd like to be on top of that.
I think you'd be fine.
I must conquer that landmass.
We encourage our ladies a few months ahead of time to start doing squats because, you know, like sometimes all you have is a hole in the cement and that's like, it's just not like home.
It went differently than I thought.
It really did. I was like, why is Dan calling out specifically that the ladies need to do squats?
Well, it's the ladies who told you to tell the ladies to do squats.
Yeah, it makes sense in the end, but in the moment I was like, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt in this because I don't think there was a situation in which Dan's like, the men that show up, they have the leg strength to be able to do all the things they need to do. But we tell the ladies that they should really prepare because they're just not prepared. No,
that's coming from the ladies.
No, that makes sense.
Please warn the ladies.
Yeah, yeah. My wife has taken many trips to Asia, to Mexico, down to or over to Africa, Haiti, all these different things. Like one of the prevailing things that has happened is she's like, I hate all of the situations in which I've had to like be over a bucket or over just a hole in the ground, and I'm like, oh boy, sorry, babe, that's rough times.
Yeah. But if you haven't gone on a missions trip before, I would definitely recommend it. Like going to do it, see a different culture and different like people and how they live differently than we do here, and like it's really eye opening, I guess.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Yeah.
All right, here we go. If you're ready, I want you to listen to the music as it lulls you into America's fastest growing internet game show.
And now for America's fastest growing game show, Secular or Solomon?
Is it still growing?
Yeah, you have wandered into America's fastest growing internet game show, Secular versus Solomon.
I feel like if a show is not on for years at a time, can we really consider it growing?
Yeah, let's just say it's got a lot of room to move. Like, it's moving fast, like it doubled.
America's stationary internet game show.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. If you have 100,000 people who love your game show and it moves to 100, you move 10,000 up, you only move by 10%. But if two people love your game show and now four people love it, it's doubled.
Exactly.
We are America's fastest growing internet game show.
By percentages.
I can't believe it's gone this long as no one asked me to justify my figures, but that's how I justify it.
Okay,
right there.
Fair enough.
That's what it is. All right. This is America's fastest growing internet game show, asterisk, that's probably not true, Secular versus Solomon. So again, premise of the game, I'm going to give you a proverb, a bit of wisdom, and I need you to tell me, where is this thing coming from? Is it a secular bit of wisdom, of which we should maybe be wary of? And I want the country of origin. Who's perpetuating this business? Or is it a biblical bit of wisdom? Most likely from Solomon, but could be other contributors to the Proverbs and potentially Ecclesiastes.
Do we have to speak in the accent of the country?
Dan, you do. You need to do that.
I've already lost. So.
Yeah, I would like to see you do that instead of Mike, who would probably have been willing to step up to that challenge.
Okay, here we go. You guys ready?
Yep.
All right. Number one, secular or Solomon, a mosquito thinks it can drink up a river. A mosquito thinks it can drink up a river. Secular or Solomon, Dan?
Well, that is a secular piece of advice or wisdom. And I'd say Mississippi, but that's not a country. So I'm going to have to go.
I knew it.
We're going to go to Canada because that's just right outside of Minnesota. So Canada, Canadian.
Yeah. Hey, I love the intricacies of Dan's mind. It fascinates me to no end.
Secular, Mississippi, can't say that. Minnesota, that's close to Canada. Secular, Canada.
Hey, I feel like Bill Murray from the first Ghostbusters movie where he shocks the people and shows them the shapes. That's trying to figure out Dan. Dan Hudson from Ghostbusters.
Just riffed his way through
that
answer.
Mind.
All right, Ethan Huffy, a mosquito thinks it can drink up a river. Secular or Solomon?
I don't know, honestly, but I'll go Solomon.
Okay, Solomon. Emma.
I'm going to go secular Panama.
Panamanians got optimistic mosquitoes. Buva.
Secular Libya.
Secular Libya. A mosquito thinks it can drink up a river. It is indeed secular Burundi.
Oh.
Burundi.
I don't know.
Nobody saw that coming.
I didn't see Burundi coming.
You are welcome, fellas. All right, here we go. Secular or Solomon. This one's for Ethan. The righteous hates falsehood, but the wicked brings shame and disgrace. The righteous hates falsehood, but the wicked brings shame and disgrace. Secular or Solomon?
There's no way it's not Solomon, right?
He's already figured out the game show.
It feels like a trick.
It's like a Jeopardy answer.
Okay, Solomon?
Yeah.
Okay,
who is
Solomon?
Solomon?
Emma.
I'm also going Solomon.
Okay, Solomon. Booba.
I'm going to go Solomon, Proverbs 13.
Ooh, he stuck his neck out unnecessarily. Damn.
Yeah, we're going to go Solomon, and I'm going to go Proverbs 23:12.
Ooh, 23:12.
I hope it's that.
The righteous
so awesome.
Hates falsehood, but the wicked brings shame and disgrace. The answer is indeed Solomon, Proverbs 13:5.
Yes!
Oh, so wow. Close.
13, wait, did you say 13?
I did. I said 13.
Oh, but did you give a verse?
No, I didn't give a
verse. Oh, you're a coward.
I'm a proverbial coward. I wasn't expecting that.
Oh, no, that's not a proverbial.
Just straight coward? Just straight.
All right. In real life, tangibly, your cowardice is smelt from here. Oh, secular.
Boy. I put deodorant on, I'm sorry.
Or Solomon, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Ooh. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Secular Solomon.
Secular Moldova.
Secular Moldova, which I think is a country from Netflix.
You thinking Sokovia?
What am I thinking of? What's with the Christmas journalist who marries the king?
What?
Is it the Hallmark Channel?
I love all the romance movies from the Netflix.
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
Okay, if you think of it, let me know.
Genovia.
I was kind of thinking Genovia.
Genovia, excuse me.
What's that from?
That's the Princess Diaries.
Princess Diaries. You love that one movie?
Oh, Genovia.
I do love that movie.
Yeah.
Both of them.
I made that up. I don't think that was from the movie.
It's pretty
close. That is. That's the...
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Ethan will sing it later. He practiced in the Peru.
You. No, you.
Okay. Booba. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life.
Solomon, Proverbs 6.
Dan Hudson.
That's an Italian proverb.
No other comment.
That's all I got.
I thought you were wondering if Italy was a country still.
It was from Mussolini's grandfather as he sat upon a toilet.
Secular. Right. Mussolini's grandpappy.
All right. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life.
Did Ethan answer?
I'll go.
Oh, sorry.
I'll go secular from Spain.
Secular Spain. Spanish, we are all
Italian
over the map.
Moravian.
Wait, where is Moravia?
Moldova.
Moldova.
Oh, where's that?
It's by Romania, I think.
Is that the same thing as the Maldives?
Maldives are islands.
I did European geography on the Soterra for like a week straight, and that's the one I remember.
That's it. Okay. All right, here we go. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. It is indeed Solomon.
Italian.
Proverbs 13. Sorry, Dan. Did you try to overwrite Solomon? he's an Italian.
Was it Proverbs 13 again?
Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, 12. That's, if you said Proverbs 6, Emma, how many points is that deducted?
Probably at least 50.
50. It seems squidgy, but at least really a 50-point deduction.
Wow.
Okay. Here we go. This starts with Buva, secular or Solomon. He who has butter on his head should not stand in the sun. He who has butter on his head should not stand in the sun, secular or Solomon.
Secular Scottish.
Did you want to do the accent?
No.
Okay, good.
I suppose not.
You can come if we come back around. We can celebrate.
It's secular Scottish.
Okay, Buva. Because in with Scottish, Dan. He who has butter on his head should not stand in the sun.
Well, this is an ancient proverb, so it predates America. So we're going to the Native American lands in Kansas where the tribes would collect the maize and create butter. And so it is the
corn butter. Corn butter.
That's what I got.
So you're saying secular Kansas, but this is before America was the states.
I don't recall what tribes. I've actually read a book
nation
from the
of
tribes
Kansas.
In Kansas, but I don't remember what tribes were down there.
Okay, the agrarian
Iroquois
economy.
Of Kansas.
Okay. All right. Good luck, Ethan. He who has butter on his head should not stand in the sun.
We'll go secular from Ecuador.
Ecuadorians got a lot of wasted butter on the noggin, Emma.
Secular, Norway.
Ooh.
Norwegians.
Yeah, okay.
Let's hear it.
He who has butter on his head should not stand in the sun. That is secular. The Netherlands.
Kansas. Oh, so close.
We're very close. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I get it.
Very close to the nation of Kansas.
I can't believe it's not maize.
I can't believe it's not corn butter.
Okay. Secular or Solomon, when the wine goes in, strange things come out. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Trying to put on a game show here.
Is that real?
when the wine goes in, strange things come out, secular or Solomon, Dan Hudson.
Well, that is obviously Spanish. The Spaniards.
That's the
identical.
That's the complaint line is 515-517-0085. If you are of
hey, they drink the wine and things come out.
Hashtag Spanish heritage, and you want to comment on Dan's answers, oh, you go ahead and use the complaint line. All right, Ethan.
Secular from Sweden.
The Swedish are known drunkards. There's a lot of strange things going
drunkards.
On.
Drunkards.
Okay. Emma.
I'll go secular France.
Wow, that's harsh. I can't believe you would say that about people.
Yeah, Bova. That seems rude to the French.
Yeah. Yeah. The Swedes are used to this kind of thing. The French are a little bit... go ahead, Bova.
I'm going to go secular Greek.
Ooh. I like that. I like what you've done.
It's the first time you've said that to me in 15 years of the show.
I'm setting you up for failure.
I know
when,
you are.
When the wine goes in, strange things come out. It is secular South Africa.
Oh, yeah.
South Africa. You guys were in the wrong parts of the world.
Wow. I mean, I was just north of it. Like, by a whole continent. One of the taller ones. Dang it.
All right. Secular or Solomon, this one goes to Ethan. Poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is honored.
Solomon?
That didn't sound super confident.
I was going to say it more confidence. Reproof is in there.
Sorry. Solomon.
I felt that in my bones. Emma. Oh,
Solomon.
Okay, Solomon, Bova.
Solomon, Proverbs 17.
Oh, damn.
That is a Septuagint Latin Solomon proverb.
Dan, I don't mean to, I mean not in front of everybody, but the Septuagint was in Greek.
Yeah, of the Latin.
Yeah, the Greek retranslation into Latin.
When the wine goes in, things come out.
Strange. Out comes the Septuagint.
That's right. A drunk Greek translated the Vulgate into Greek, and then a Latin man read the Septuagint and retranslated it back.
Exactly.
Does that Solomon. Mean vulture or eagle? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's all the same.
Bird.
Okay, poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is honored. That is Solomon, Proverbs 13.
Ah!
13:18.
And you're stuck in 13.
Hey.
Did you just pull up Proverbs 13?
Okay.
And just
what
go,
else do you need?
I'm just going to go all here.
I don't want to give away my secrets, but if you find that I've not prepared this game ahead of time and I have a small amount, I'm probably picking from a very narrow number of chapters in Proverbs. I will also tell you the wisdom doesn't really start until about 5 or 6 and stops around 16, 17.
Right.
Okay. If you read your scriptures, you would know that, you heathens. Secular or Solomon? Me? You. Okay.
Yeah, you're starting, Ben.
It goes to him.
Give us an answer off the thing you're reading.
Okay. So, I was going to say it's not my turn. I felt real guilty for a minute, like a nervous.
Oh, crap. It's my turn.
Shoot. I missed myself the whole time.
Read the question and the answer simultaneously.
Okay. Secular Solomon, the man who marries a beautiful woman and the farmer who grows corn by the roadside have the same problem.
I've definitely heard this one before. China.
How do
secular
you,
China.
How do you spend your time?
Listen to this program. It's a mistake.
Oh, right.
I'm going to be honest.
Okay, first of all, hold on. What does this mean? The man who marries a beautiful woman and the farmer who grows corn by the roadside have the same problem.
Everybody
people
wants
want
a
it.
Piece.
Oh, people are trying to make off with it.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh.
Yeah. Easy grabbing corn.
I'm with some of that good corn. Looking lady.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
I'm against how this is being spoken of in whatever country is bad. It's a bad country.
Oh, no.
Bova. Speak. Now that I said they're a bad country, whatever you say will be an indictment upon that country. Hashtag
so,
Bova.
I'm going to go secular, and I'm going to go, this predates America. And, you know, the nation of the Pueblo were known for their beautiful ladies and for their corn on the roadside. No, I'm going to go secular Chile.
Okay.
Chile.
Dan Hudson.
I'm going to go secular as well, and I'm just going straight Republic of Congo.
Why is that a straight answer?
It's just right there.
I'm just going to go straight,
just right there,
Republic of Congo.
We're not going to dance
no
around this at all.
Needed,
not even the full Democratic Republic of Congo, just the Republic of Congo.
Everyone knows they have beautiful women and wonderful
and
women.
Corn. Okay. Ethan Huffey.
I'm going to go secular from India.
Secular India.
Ooh. Indian corn.
Hey, there's safety in numbers. He chose a giant country. More likely that someone there said it. Smart.
Probably did.
Smart. All right. The man who marries a beautiful woman and the farmer who grows corn by the roadside have the same problem. Secular Ethiopia. Ethiopia.
I was very close.
I could tell.
All right, Boova.
All right.
Ooh, more about ladies. Secular Solomon.
Ew.
The what? Why?
What a creepy way to say that.
Here's what I'm going to tell you.
Ooh, more about ladies.
I don't like the connotation.
Coming at you live.
That people can't say the word like ladies. The
no, people can. You can't.
Okay. Ooh, Boova. Coming at you live. More about the ladies.
Okay. I did have to hold. I was at on a work meeting, like Friday.
Oh, I'm terrified for where this story's going. Hey, ladies.
It was between me and two women, and they both got on the call, and I like had it halfway out my tongue to go, "Hello, ladies," and then something stopped me. Like, don't do this.
Something stopped you. Did you read the Proverbs that day and decide you were going to be wise and prudent?
Hello, ladies.
It's a cultural problem. I should be able to say hello, ladies. It's like saying hello, gentlemen. You don't.
No.
That's not a problem.
It's not a cultural problem.
Somebody ruined this for
it's
me.
It's a you problem no. with the way you creepily say things. Hello, ladies.
I didn't quite
welcome
say it like
to the
that.
Meeting.
I love you like a can of corn.
So I changed it. They're like, hello, you two.
Hello, ladies. Have you recently been told about corn grown by the roadside? Because I'm thinking.
You two long-haired humans, welcome to the meeting.
Ew.
All right.
Just read the proverb.
Hold on. I do this for a living. Boom. The wisest of women, wisest of ladies, builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down.
Proverbs. Well, Solomon, excuse me. Proverbs 8.
Oh. Dan Hudson.
Solomon, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12.
That's a safe bet.
We already said 13, verse 12.
Have we?
I'll go we Solomon. Did. Oh, Solomon as well.
Okay, Solomon, do you want to venture a chapter? You don't have to.
14.
It's going to be real close to 13.
Ethan's playing the numbers game. He says, I think they're incrementally up. Emma.
I'll also go Solomon.
Okay. Did you want to offer a chapter?
Can you give me a hint and tell me which chapter is about the wise lady?
Wouldn't that feels like cheating.
It might be cheating.
Hey, 14.
I'm going to go proper 14. Just throwing it out there.
Okay, just a spitball in here. All right, the wisest of ladies builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. Secular, Proverbs 14:1.
Let's go.
I was literally going to say 14-1.
The amount of victory in this corner over here.
They're just winning.
Is a shame to you.
I'm really glad I did not involve myself in that Peruvian gambling circle.
Okay. Dan Hudson.
Yes.
In a multitude of people is the glory of a king, but without people, a prince is ruined. What the heck does that mean? Hold on. I'm going to say it to you. Pastor Dan, in a multitude of people is the glory of a king, but without people, a prince is ruined.
Yeah, because he has nobody following him.
It's the lonely. But makes it sound like they're contradictory, but they're the exact same thing. They're saying the same thing twice.
A prince isn't established.
If you have a lot of people and you're the king, you're great. You're feeling great. Look at all these subjects I have.
Right.
If yeah. there aren't any people, then you're just like, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Just the dude on the Holy Grail.
Yeah, so Em's right, though. It is saying the Money same Python. Thing. The but is more like a comparative, like the other end of a coin. The yang, if you will.
It could be a semicolon.
It's not a semicolon. No.
It could
the
be.
Biblical
no, the
translators.
Other side of the semicolon.
They don't do semicolons because it's the devil's. It's the devil's punctuation. Okay.
The devil's punctuation.
It's a deceit.
English teachers around the world right now are going, no, it's not.
No. God is not the author of confusion. He does not endorse a semicolon. Dan Hudson. Multitude of people is the glory of a king, but without people, a prince is ruined.
I'm envisioning Monty Python and these coconuts. Mm-hmm.
You're in the right alleyway, my friend.
And with that, I'm going to Proverbs 14 and calling it a Solomon.
Okay.
14:5.
Monty Python to Solomon makes total sense. Ethan Huffy.
I'm going to go secular from Scotland.
Ooh, Scottish secular. Dan, your confidence did not win Ethan over. He says, Solomon A.
I threw him off with Monty Python.
He says, not in that hat, sir. Emma.
I'm going to go secular Wales.
Secular Wales. Ooh, keeping it in the same. It's a British territory.
I'm going to go secular.
Okay.
And I'm going to say India.
Secular India. He pulled the Huffy method.
I did. Because he said it. Scotland, and I said Scotland earlier. So I'm pulling India from him.
Yeah. You did the, what's the thing where the girls switch parents?
Parent? Oh, no, no.
The Parent Trap.
No, that's
Trap.
Freaky Friday is what you're thinking. No,
no, no.
Switch Parents.
Switch
Parents.
That's Parent Trap.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have brought it up. If I should have cycled in my mind and go let that reference go, but I committed to it.
No, it's all good. I just committed to Lohan's.
Yeah.
And I thought Lohan is in Parent Trap and Lohan is in Freaky Friday, and I got confused.
Yeah, I didn't put that together. She made a weird career choices to only switch with people in her movies.
We should probably not find ourselves in a place where we are talking about Lindsay Lohan's career choices on air.
Okay.
We're cutting edge.
Right. The
9 years after things went real bad, let's talk about the decline of Lohan.
The Life from the Path aftercast, we're going to talk about the career of Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. In a multitude of people is the glory of a king, but without people, a prince is ruined. Solomon, Proverbs 14:28.
Oh, it's 23 verses off.
14:28. All right, rounding it out. Final question for the inventor of the Huffy method, Ethan Huffy. Even the best cooking pot will not produce food. Even the best cooking pot will not produce food. Secular or Solomon?
I'm going to go Solomon.
All right, he's in for Solomon. Emma?
Secular Italy.
Okay, secular Italy. Booba.
I'm going to go secular, and I'm going to say Mozambique.
Ooh, that's a good one. I can't even say that. Go ahead, Dan.
I'm also going secular, and I'm feeling Uganda. Feeling it.
Hi, boy.
Feeling Uganda.
Yeah, hashtag feeling Uganda.
That's not the name of this t-shirt. Episode. Things I might be a little sad.
Things to not say in a crowd of mixed company. Secular Solomon, even the best cooking pot will not produce food. It is indeed secular from the Zulu tribe, which is South Africa.
Whoa.
Oh.
I was real close. Mozambique is next to South Africa.
It was super close. It was super close. You should be proud of yourselves.
It's like Zimbabwe, Mozambique.
Or all right. Hey, you've just participated in America's fastest growing internet game show, Secular versus Solomon. I hope you did well. Emma, what were the final scores?
I surprisingly dominated with roughly 500.
Okay.
Ethan was close behind, 490.
Oh, nice job.
Dan really pulled it out the last second. He got like 350.
Wow, I like where this is going.
Let me check my notes. Booba's in dead last. Negative 200. I don't even know how he did that.
I feel like I got a lot of those right to be at a negative 200. But
it was the accent.
Yeah. It was how
it's
you
true.
Said it.
I kept using that Scottish accent for Mozambique. It was just so wrong.
I felt there was an arrogance to those Proverbs chapter guesses. Don't
I mean,
you think?
Really, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, it's been your downfall.
Why do I always lose that game?
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Thanks for hanging out. We really do appreciate it here on Live from the Path. Hey, if you want to catch past episodes of the show, either the full show or you want to play Secular versus Solomon, one, you can go to the YouTube channel or livefromthepath.org. Just do a search for Secular and it'll pull up the episodes and podcasts for Secular versus Solomon. You too can play the game and see how well you know your Proverbs. Maybe hit them up. Maybe if some of those seem surprising to you, just take a read through those Proverbs. Figure out where your wisdom's coming from and so you can pick out whether it's from the Lord or whether it's from the Zulu. Because you want to be able to make the decision. You know what I'm
right.
saying? Okay.
Hey, can you do that for any of the game shows?
Oh, like, yeah.
Can you type out any of the game shows for that? That's awesome.
Yeah, sure you can. So if you you want to hit up, there's been two versions of Woke or Toke, which is where you got to guess whether it is a liberal church name or a weed shop. Just do a search for Toke is probably the real the safe one.
Yeah.
Search that up and you'll be able to find those. We've also used to play, there's three or four episodes of Is This Love, which is a scenario of which you have to decide, does someone actually love the other person or is it some sort of ruse?
Is it love?
Yeah, yeah. That's Sorry. What originally played with Crystal Joy, author Crystal Joy, who wrote kind of like a romance, not romance novels, but like they had a lot of that kind of stuff in it. And we said, we'll see if she can pick out real world love scenarios.
It's like a rom-com on the page.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Hey, you've been listening to Life from the Path. Thank you for hanging out with us. I can't remember. Did that tuck us up? We about ready for some advice?
I think so.
How are we doing here? I think we got the time for some to give out some advice. Let's do it.
Fantastic. I was totally prepared for that.
Okay. In the meantime, while he's looking that up, remind you, if you go to livefromthepath.org, and I think it's called shop, maybe, or store, you can pick up some Live from the Path merchandise. And I don't know if you bought merchandise within the last 5 or 6 years. I'm just telling you, it's an upgraded upgraded selection out there. The shirts are nice. I got a sweatshirt. It's pretty nice. The War Donkey coffee looks cool. I don't know what it tastes like. People keep ordering it, and then no one wants to drink it because like the package looks cool.
Dang it. Okay, I'll buy two.
Okay.
And I'll have a sacrificial.
One to cook, one to look, you know?
Ew.
That's how you should do it.
I think we've just determined just now that it's just the way things, it's you saying things.
Hashtag I said it,
like,
lady.
I think other people saying things is fine.
Yeah.
But then when you say things, it's like, no.
Hashtag hello, ladies. Get that war donkey coffee.
Don't hashtag that.
No, it's probably, actually, you're right. Don't hashtag that.
Nope. Okay. All right.
Let's give out some advice.
Dear Life of the Path, when I came out of my introvert shell, I began trying to find a relationship. I went on a few dating websites and met some great guys and some not-so-great guys.
Nope.
One of the latter had been giving me red flags since our first date. We clicked at first and shared many of the same interests and hobbies, but he wanted to move way too fast.
Yeah.
While our dates had always been in public places, he constantly wanted to get me alone, either at my house or his. He seemed put off when I asked if another friend could come.
Uh-huh.
Then there came a time when my health was faltering, and our infrequent meetings became less important to me. I told him I was having health problems, but the next day he invited me out for another date, like I hadn't just told him. He either began to ignore what I was saying, or I was noticing it more frequently. Because of this and other things, I quit responding to him. This has now spiraled out of control. He has contacted me on every social media app, on my phone, and by email. I am upset for a number of reasons, but I feel guilty ignoring him. My family and friends say I'm doing the right thing, that responding to any of his communication will give him the idea that I'm open to communicating again. I do not want to start talking to him again, but I still feel awful about ignoring him completely. What should I do?
Hold on. Let me see if I understand this situation correctly. I feel either I'm missing something or... This seems relatively straightforward. Hey, I went on some dating website, and I had a man who had a number of red flags.
At the beginning.
I saw it from the start, and I pursued this relationship.
But we had so many things in common.
Maybe the metaphor of red flag didn't hit this woman correctly, but like...
The flag could go away. You might put it
down.
Is
it red, or is it like a maroon?
Yeah.
Change him.
So, yeah, like you just blew past the, you know, do not back up tire spikes present and just went on over it and go, I can't believe what's happening to me and why the situation is going poorly.
Yeah.
So that's surprising.
And now you feel bad.
Yeah. And then did she give, she's ignoring him, but do we get a sense that she actually said, hey, I don't want to date you anymore?
No. It seems as though she's kind of just faded out.
But don't you think he'd figure that out? I mean,
I would say that most gentlemen of an age don't figure that out.
Wow.
And they think, well, what about if I say it again? Or what if I say, hey, in a different app?
Mm-hmm.
And then she'll be like, oh, I remember this guy on Facebook and I blocked him and don't want to talk to him. But now that he's sending me a Snapchat, maybe I'm more interested in seeing him.
Maybe if she saw a close-up picture of my ear, that would really turn things around.
Dan's not allowed to online date.
Dan,
he doesn't.
Dan, you should not be dating
the times
anyone
have
but your wife.
I sent her pictures.
Please
of my
don't
ear
selfie
all the time.
With an ear picture. That's horrifying on so many levels.
I like to think of the technology that was available to Dan when he first started dating and his ear pictures. Hey, someone get the Polaroid out.
I gotta take a picture. There's a 1 hour photo around here somewhere.
Yeah. Where's the Walgreens?
Hold on, babe. I will be right back.
Let me develop this film. And you'll get three weird pictures of my ear.
I don't know. Emma, Ethan, is this? What do you think about this lady?
Yeah, I feel like her course of action seems pretty obvious. Just if it would make your conscience feel better, make it pretty clear. Hey, you're weird. And I'm sick, so go away.
Yeah, these two things combined.
You're weird, I'm sick. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Ethan, would you be dissuaded by a woman who said that to you?
Oh, what an odd place to put him in.
I just want to say, I didn't know what the segment was, and I thought Booba was just saying his past experience. For the first, like, five words.
Booba.
And I was like, wait.
Hold it down.
Here.
Live from the back.
I've been dating
Stand
online
down.
Recently.
Hey, I like that
this
Ethan
fella keeps emailing me, and I really wish I would have given him
a
fake
like,
email.
Wait, what?
He found that story believable coming from your situation.
Yeah. Five words in, though, he was like, no. This isn't Booba. I appreciate that it was no more than five words.
Yeah. Well, so, okay. Let me say this. In the man's defense, not defense, we ask a certain level of stubbornness from men, right? Think of men who go, hold on, with stick with me, Booba. Think of, you send men to war as an example, and they are supposed to just wait on it.
I haven't said anything.
I want you to take it in. Take a breath. Do you need some patchouli to calm down? Put it under your nostrils. Okay. You send men out to do things in the world that have impossible odds. And they go out there and are a belief that something will succeed. You also find this with very, think of the, I'm going to make a broad generalization that I believe to be true. In general, if you were to separate men and women, more people, both men and ladies, would consider the ladies more good looking than men. Holistically, women are more good looking creatures.
Yes.
Across the board. There are more fives and aboves than there are fives and below. But men, the teeter-totter goes the other way. Most men are like average. You know what I'm saying, Bufa? Back me up.
Most men are like average. Yeah, that's the concept of an average. Yeah. You are correct.
But I don't feel like most ladies are average.
No, the average is just more beautiful.
I know, but there's no way to articulate that.
Yes, there is. You've already done it.
Okay.
You did it on the first pass and then messed it up with the, just most guys are average.
Okay. Anyway, you know what I'm saying.
You've seen a bell curve.
So anyway, so even then, like, it feels like impossible odds. Men are always trying to attain or achieve things that are don't seem likely within their bounds. It's, we ask this of men societally, okay?
Yes.
So the downside of this is if you've created a belief that, like, you see this as even like 40, 50-year-old dudes trying to talk
to, persistent.
Yes. Or like, we'll go, we're like, oh yeah, I could still date a woman 30 years younger. And like, no, sir, you could not. Absolutely. Yeah, and
what's
so,
your bank account look like?
Anyway, it creates something about men. They become overconfident, or they try to climb Mount Everest. And you have to have that to achieve those types of things. But it also means they're a stubborn lot who don't catch on easily. And so, I mean, this is true, I think, in this situation. I would also prescribe that this is true in most relationships. You have got to be explicit with fellas.
Yeah,
it is in your best
passive
interest.
Passive-aggressive.
Yes. You do not just, like, fade away. You go, sir, no. I will not be going out with you. You don't go, oh, I've been feeling a little under the weather. He's going to check on the next day to see if you'll date then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and so maybe the lady has been more clear than what she's letting on. But I'm just saying, dudes need a little bit of a blunt force object sometimes.
He still sees a green light.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I'm going to keep trying.
Yeah.
She hasn't said no.
You got to shut her down. Yeah. And you don't have to be rude to him just because you were unclear before. But just be clear.
Yeah.
No, sir.
I'm going to recognize the no-win scenario that I believe that most women will see themselves in with that advice.
Tell me.
Because I think that the men that are persistent to a fault are also the ones who will get very emotionally damaged by a woman being straightforward and saying, no, I'm not interested in this. And then they become creepy and it's just bad.
I don't think that's inevitable.
No, what I mean is from the perspective of I think there are plenty of women who would say that that is more likely their experience than a guy hearing a very stark, like, no, and then just being like, well, okay, thank you. I really respect that and I appreciate that you told me.
I don't think he's going to say that necessarily.
In any way. Yeah. And so, but to also recognize your point, like, there's a really famous R&B song that the lyric is, if at first you don't succeed, dust yourself off and try again. You can dust off and try again.
Yeah.
Meaning like, hey, I'm intentionally going to say no to you a few times, but don't give up. Like, it's the chase is fun, and I want you to keep pursuing me kind of thing. But, like, if I tell you no, that doesn't really always mean, like, it's never going to be yes. And so, like, there's two sides to this, and people suck. And so, like, rough times.
Yeah, I would say it is in your best interest, though. Like, just ignoring this man is not working similarly. And so a guy who's not going to react properly to you not wanting to date him may do it either way. But I think both of you are served well by your clarity.
Sure, I think so.
Yeah. I don't think it's even any good for you just to try to, you don't want to be like ditching him all over the place and thinking that 2 days from now he might contact you or whatever. Just, you said it clearly. And frankly, you're building the stalking case. If you need something to show the police, you've got it written down. You told him no.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Anybody else different advice than what I gave?
Yeah, I think she just needs to be direct and kindly say, I'm moving on. Yeah. I'm with you.
Okay.
All right. Secular says, you may be feeling guilty because you are ghosting him, which I believe is bad form.
Bad form.
Send him
bad.
Okay, Hook. Send him a text or an email telling him you haven't responded to his attempts to communicate because you are not interested in a relationship, and he must stop trying to contact you, period. If he persists after that, you may have picked up a stalker, and you should file a police report.
Boy.
Bad form.
Bad form.
Did anybody get... Okay, I'm glad you got that reference. I wasn't sure if anybody did.
Smee.
Bad form, Peter. Dustin Hoffman was a fantastic Hook. That was a great movie. Okay.
The only one person that could have done it better was a young Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, she really fell, didn't she?
Yeah, she could have done an excellent Captain Hook. Kind of a more modern take.
I probably would actually pay to go see that movie just to see the ridiculousness that it is. Okay. Dear Life of the Path.
Yes.
Our son is engaged to marry a young lady our family can't stand.
Ooh.
No matter what we are discussing, she turns the conversation to long, boring stories about her friend, her aunt, her cousin, etc. Nobody cares about these stories, and they are constant. Our two daughters and their husbands roll their eyes and limit their time with her. My husband leaves the room. Even my 95-year-old mother, who is partially deaf, can't be in her company.
She's going to die soon. She has no time to waste with these stories.
Our daughters think we should tell our son not to marry her, as it is ruining our close family.
Mm.
He doesn't seem to notice it. Seems to love her and will be hurt. Have you any suggestions?
Okay, Ethan. I need you to fix this situation. How are you going
to
do it?
I need you to recognize that was not about me.
What do you think? She tells long, boring stories, tearing the family apart.
Hmm. Interesting. Make her tell more interesting stories.
How are you going to? What are you? Were you just going to tell her, "Hey, baby, you tell boring stories"?
Hey, Cindy. Those books where you fill in the blanks, you know, and the adverbs, whatever. The
ad-libs?
Ad-libs. Yeah.
Adverbs. Is that what you said?
You do an adverb or a noun?
You know, describing the verb.
I couldn't remember they were called ad-libs, but.
Adverbs.
Yeah. How do you approach this, though? Don't you think she might be offended?
Yeah, get her a book of adjectives.
I don't know why you're asking me.
Well, we're giving advice, Huffy. What if this was presented to you? They said you're the only guy in the world who can respond. What do you say?
I really don't know.
Okay. Huffy's bailing. Emma?
Well, I feel like first off, you gotta get the... Don't break the engagement off. That seems a little bit excessive.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So I feel like if I was the girl, either two things would be happening. Either I was just trying to make conversation and I didn't come naturally to me. And so I start talking about people I know.
Mm-hmm.
Or I just don't have a very interesting life. Like I don't do very many things. So I talk about my friends and my aunt who does what to me seem like interesting things.
Yeah.
So either... if I was the dude, I would talk to the girl and I'd be like, hey, don't feel any pressure to make conversation. Well, we like your company. We don't really like your stories. That's okay. Or.
We like you. Your stories are terrible.
Just shut up.
Or I would just take her out and do some more interesting stuff. So then you can all talk about that.
Oh,
what an inventive way to fix the problem. Let's go do skydiving and stuff. That way you can tell better stories, not about your Aunt Christy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. There's probably a reality to that. Like, if people are telling long drawn, she could actually just have no idea that these are terrible stories.
Yeah, right.
Or she's trying to impress these people and doesn't know how to do it.
They clearly have a close family. She said, well, I like family too. Here's my family stories. And they're so caught up in themselves, they're not interested. They're selfish.
Yeah. Somebody shows up and is like, oh, I was getting my hair cut the other day. And she's like, oh, my Aunt Lucy has hair.
Here's the deal. Don't invite these people to your wedding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's how you solve that problem.
That'll fix it.
Emma says, create good memories. Dan says, you know what? Cut them off.
You're out. You are no longer a part of our family.
I don't like you not liking my stories.
Yeah. Okay. So if you think of this conversation, so Emma proposed, so yeah, you give her some more experiences, or you say, hey, don't feel like you have to fill in the gaps.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's awesome.
They're going to love you, and we're hearing a lot about your aunt, but like they're interested in you, but if you don't feel like you have anything to say, just don't feel the burden to have to say something.
Hey, what if you say that? And she's like taken aback. She's like, no, I just thought I was telling awesome stories about my cousin.
Here's the other
There's
thing.
There's a chance that she's this bad.
She could.
And she loves it.
Now, here's the other thing to say. You are marrying this woman. This is a long-term commitment. If you cannot have a conversation and go, listen, I need you to know these are not entertaining stories. Like, you about killed Nana.
Here's the deal. I wonder if the son thinks they're not entertaining. That's what I want to know. Obviously, I can't know that from the situation, but I'm really interested to know if the son also thinks her stories are boring and awful and too frequent, or if he just thinks she's great.
You think it's blind. You think he's blind.
Oh, yeah. And then about 3 years later, it'll be like, man, that's annoying.
Yeah, my dad was right. Dad, she tells terrible stories.
Like, seriously, we've been meaning to tell you this for years, but I love you, and you're so beautiful. You suck at telling stories.
Yeah.
They're so long and have nothing to do with anything we care about.
Yeah, you're eye candy and ear veggies.
But here's the deal. Being a family, going, I hope no one ever comes into our family telling stories about anything other than our family. Get over yourselves.
Yeah, yeah. I do feel like if the first two options aren't the case, they're probably, this family has something else
right
that they don't like about her, and they're just like, you know what really is the worst, though? The stories. You know what? You should just cut it off now. That would really solve all the problems.
Right. Mm. If I'm talking to you and I'm like, hey, my friend, like, Travis, he blah, blah, blah. You're like, I've never even met Travis. I could care less about this stupid story that you're trying to tell me. It's like, that's not a real way to take in the world.
Oh.
Just because the story isn't of your family and someone else is putting themselves into the conversation, you might suck.
You know, it's wild, though. Like, they hate something about her that is worse than the story thing. You think that they might say the story thing because they find it acceptable, but really, she's Lutheran or something.
Yeah. I feel like it's probably something, or like that lady a few weeks ago where she would just, like, didn't understand the customs or, like, the language or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that, where it was like, would not be an actually very legitimate reason, and so they just are picking up the story thing.
Yeah.
I think you guys are missing the obvious.
Okay.
This is the family from Ozark. So they're like all secret double agent drug dealer living fan, really crazy lives, and this other person's like normal.
I don't get those channels, Dan.
The family from Ozark?
Have you seen
like the Lake of the Ozarks?
Haven't you seen the series Ozark?
This is a show.
Yeah.
I thought this was like something that's known about people that live in the Lake of the Ozarks.
Down in Missouri,
a lot.
Just
look, I've been
weird.
To the Lake of the Ozarks, and I don't feel like it was any fronts for drug trafficking. Sorry, like Ben said, I don't get those channels. I don't even get the ads for those channels. Apparently, I didn't know it was a thing.
That's why you guys can't answer the question.
I totally did not see the fact that this family is like, listen to boring Nancy over here talking about her life. She has no idea that we deal with the cartel.
Exactly. You thought he was a CPA. He's like, no, he's a cartel dude.
Okay. All right.
Is that what Ozarks is about? He's a CPA for the cartel?
Pretty much, yeah. He was a CPA. He got pulled in.
It's the one with Jason or David Jason Bateman?
Wait a minute. Bateman. That's also part of the plot of Jack Reacher, the TV series.
I've never seen that one.
Oh, yeah. I never saw that one.
Yeah.
Guy the gets movie was work great.
For the cartel. Well,
I was at Pirate Stadium like a month ago, and I realized that was the place at the beginning of the Jack Reacher movie when the guy's like, yeah, it's bad stuff. I was like, oh, I'm there. That's creepy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, okay. All right. We ready for Seculars?
Yes. Let's have it.
All right. Secular says, if you do what your daughters are suggesting, which is to break up, or tell them that they should break up, your son is almost guaranteed to be offended and become defensive. It could very likely alienate him and his fiance. An alternative might be for you to talk privately with your son and point out that his fiance needs to curtail her speeches because, in case he hasn't noticed, they are so long that she has literally been losing her audience. That seems.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. One more. We think it's quick. We think it's a long one.
I got long ones because it's a creepy like front desk attendant at a apartment complex.
Okay, let's have it.
Okay, all right. Dear, live from the path.
Yes.
I live in an apartment building.
Okay.
I am quiet and keep to myself. There's a concierge here who is incredibly nosy. When I pick up my packages, she asks, so what's in the package? As if I'm doing something nefarious. She's also a terrible gossip and a liar. At the front desk, as well as to management, she has accused me of doing things that never happened. Sexual impropriety, drug and tobacco use, etc.
Oh my.
I started receiving strange unsigned text messages with the same accusations. I can usually recognize who contacts me. My contact information was available in the office. This woman recently accessed my apartment using a master key.
Man.
Fortunately, I was at home at the time.
Well, that's awkward.
She was fired.
Oh.
But she was back last weekend. Our manager said she is here temporarily until he can find a replacement. There are multiple copies of these keys out there, and I no longer feel safe in my own home. What would you do if you were me?
Get a doorstop.
Yeah, get Move. A... Ask for a new lock? I don't know. Obviously, this is a problem everyone's proven. Like, it's not like the owner would be like, you know, it's fine. Like, can you just put
right,
a new lock on the door?
He already fired her.
Right, yeah. I would threaten legal action to this friggin' apartment complex that seems to be literally hiring someone back who broke into your home. That's crazy. Yeah. I've been a staffing manager before, but I've never thought, I really need to hire back Rhonda. Like, she did... Like falsely accused that tenant a lot and then accessed her apartment without asking, and I fired her for it. It was that much of an offense. But after firing her, I brought her back, which is a rough go of any kind of employment law.
Yeah.
Either that or maybe this tenant is kind of crazy. Maybe this tenant like thinks that she was fired. Oh. And she wasn't actually fired, but the landlord was like, yeah, I fired her a week ago, blah, 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 but didn't actually do that. And that she saw her again and is like, fire Nancy.
Is it normal for apartments to have concierges?
If it's like a building that you have to like be like badged in, or not badged into, but like you have to prove that you live there, they do
you think
security at the
you
front
think
desk.
He's not using an elevated word? Do you mean it just
like
front
that just feels really fancy.
No, I'm thinking like imagine like a movie in New York City where
right, but they wouldn't see you getting your mail.
Yeah, they would.
Aren't they stuck at the door?
Yeah, you're
good
thinking,
morning, Mr. Thompson.
You're thinking a door person.
Oh, that's rude.
Like, there's the difference.
We don't call them that anymore.
I think there's a difference between the person that is responsible for being, like, hospitality out front, calling cabs, hailing cabins, and, like, getting people in the front door, and the person whose job is to, like, watch the place, make certain that people that are coming in for any kind of, like, third-party services or something have access to the rooms that they're supposed to be in, are assisting emergency efforts in those situations. That is concierge to me at the front.
So we think this is an upscale joint.
It seems like it.
Wow,
that's what I got from it. I don't know if that's true or not.
I was thinking like east side of Mitchellville, you know. Like I don't know if it was just like the breaking and entering or what, but that's the vibe.
I hate to pull back the curtain,
okay,
if you will. Some people sign what they say to do life in the path. Sometimes it's interesting to get the context
here. Tell me.
And I don't know what this says about what I'm thinking about. This may not be the situation I was talking about.
Yep.
But the person signed it, invaded in Georgia.
Oh.
Now, I'm not saying...
Boova.
I'm not saying that there's not high-class society-like buildings in the entire state of Georgia.
Boova.
But I will say that the mental picture that I was drawing was very much Home Alone in New York City.
Yeah, now it's more like Peach Farm.
Or Trailer Court.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying the high rises of Atlanta, I think, might be a little different than the swanky New York apartments that I was thinking of.
Okay. All right. Ethan, you said you'd move.
Yeah.
You said that this, you don't think the manager's going to straighten things out. You're just out of here. 5,000.
Yeah, if it's that big of a deal to you, then I would move.
Yeah.
If it's that big of a deal to you, if someone accessed your home with a key.
Or they're just like overreact, like they have like a different view on it, like what Ben was saying, I think. But
yeah, but then they're going to say you have 14 months left on your lease, on your contract, and you got to.
Yeah, actually, Dan's probably right. The same guy who would rehire this lying, breaking and entering woman will also hold you to the full lease.
Right, exactly. I know you want to leave, but you do realize that you owe me 30 grand if you do that.
Yeah, there's no like wild woman clause in here.
You're sitting there going, and with all that money, I could hire a second concierge.
Okay.
One that's less likely to text the guests.
Okay, I do. So here's what I think I would do realistically. I would get one of those. I would get a doorstop.
Reasonable.
Like women sometimes travel, and not just ladies, but like dudes also could travel with like a doorstop they take to hotels.
Sure, yeah.
So that someone can just come on in. Since you can't install something probably on the hardware, I'd get one of those things that you can put in there. And that way, if she tries to get in, she can get in, even if she's got the key, and it's super obvious.
Yeah. Can you do that when you leave, though? Do you have to do that from the inside?
Yeah, you could only have it there when you're home. So like what she could technically get in. I'd set up a Wise camera. They're cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ring doorbell. Those exist.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. They just stick on. Oh,
no. I spy on my dog during the day.
I'm just laughing because it was funny to hear you say, like, well, would you put the doorstop in and then leave?
I know. It's like, I don't.
Then how do you get back in?
Do you have a string on it or something? But how do you get back in?
You only have the doorstop to prevent the intruder from coming in while you're home.
Yeah.
You're right. It's only a 50% of the time help.
That was my point.
I thought of Dan shimmying down the balcony.
I'll show them.
Now no one will get in.
Take that, you crazy concierge.
Nancy can't get in. Oh, crap, neither can I.
Yeah. Oh, here she comes. She saw me a second way in. Okay.
Then she really thinks you're on drugs because you're using the fire escape when you could have just walked out your door.
That's true. You're going to have a hard time making the case that she's ridiculous when you're caught shimmy in the balcony.
Okay.
Well, you better tell us. What is the secular advice? Rescue the situation.
Secular says, document all the incidents that have happened.
Polaroid.
of your ear. If they continue, write down the time and date they occur. Ooh, meticulous. This will prove beneficial should you need to escalate the matter. That the manager rehired a fired employee because of staff shortage is disappointing. It shouldn't have happened, and there are better ways of augmenting staff needs. Because your manager has been unresponsive, reach out to the property owner or management company and report what has been going on. If that isn't effective, report the matter to the police. Your safety and well-being must come first. If you can afford to engage an attorney, consult one for advice on legal options you can consider to protect yourself from harassment, hostility, or bullying. Mm-hmm. If the situation doesn't improve, consider finding a new place to live.
The number two Huffy option.
Yes.
Yeah. India is option number one.
Right. Escalate the matter appropriately or leave.
So, okay, I have very minimal experience with a situation like this, but we were at a basketball tournament last year, and we stayed at a hotel, and there were bed bugs in the bathroom.
Oh, no. Mm.
And we found the bed bugs.
Bathroom bugs.
And we captured a couple. Of course, my wife, like, traps it. Like we're a bunch of safari bug people.
An entomologist found the bed bugs.
Yeah,
put it back in the bed where it belonged.
I've captured it. So I go to the front desk, right, and I say, hey, I was trying to keep it quiet. So, look, I'm not trying to cause a scene here, but you guys need to know that there's... So I go, hey, the guy makes me... I tell him there's bed bugs, and he goes, just a minute. And he just does everything that he wants to for another 35 minutes. Filing papers, talking to people, answering the phone, doing whatever he wants. I'm just standing there. And he comes, like, after the 35 minutes, he looks over, and he goes, yes? I said, what?
Oh, no.
I said, hey, I just said you got a couple bed bugs in the bathroom, and, you know, what should we... What are the next steps? And he's like, well, I'll tell the maintenance guys. I'm like, this is it? This is the only reaction you have?
Incredibly disappointing.
Like
this place was full. This, like, we were all, the entire basketball team was there. Everyone was there.
Chock full. Place was just, and like, you know, it was in the bathroom, and it's not the end of the world, but like, I kind of expect him to go, sir, we're very sorry. I paid for the room. I don't really mind that I paid for the rooms, right? But, like, I kind of expected him to go, hey, you know, we'll comp you $50 or here's breakfast or you don't have to pay for the stay or whatever. Or we'll pay for the fact that you're going to go run all your stuff through the dryer. Here's $20 or we'll do it in our dryers.
Something.
And he's basically just like, okay, what now? I'm like, okay, well, all right. So, like, I left. He's like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what blowing up on him would have done. The guy didn't care.
Yeah.
Right, just like the guy at the apartment complex. He probably doesn't care at all. And so I did, like, I contacted the management later on, and I said, look, I don't even need you to give me something. I'm just telling you, like, this guy handled this very poorly.
Sure.
Hey, I'm sorry. It would have been great or something. And so, sometimes you just run into people who just do not give a flip, and there's not much you can do about it. So,
right. They're just there because they couldn't work anywhere else.
Yeah, they got fired as a concierge. They went to go work at this joint. All right, you're listening to Live from the Path. Thank you so much for hanging out with us this very evening. We do appreciate it. Remember, you can go, if you have any feedback on the show, you love Ethan, you're disappointed in Boova, just go ahead and let us know. You owe us pictures of your shirt mistakes.
Shirt, uh-oh.
Hashtag.
Remember, this is a situation in which you bought a shirt and you wish you wouldn't have bought that shirt. Based off of the kind of interactions you might have had in that shirt.
You think I might invite a scandal?
Yeah.
Is that what you're worried
about?
Don't
send us your shirt mistakes. Oh. That's not what we want.
No, hey, listen, you. Keep this appropriate if you're on the complaint line. Like, I don't want to see whatever it is you might have inferred I want attitude shirts.
You're gonna get a picture of me in a crop top.
Doggone it anyway. All right, so 515-517-0085. Call or text. We'd love to hear from you, your feedback on the program. It is called the Bob Eisenlauer Live from the Path Complaint Line for a reason. I expect complaints because the show's not good. And so you're not going to hurt my feelings. That's why we set up the line. Sounds great. This is how you get a hold of us. Also, big thanks to Ethan Huffy. Ethan, thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a great time.
Awesome. It's good to have Ethan here. The door is open anytime. You're up burning the midnight oil and you just want to give out advice. The show is here for you.
All right.
Thanks for hanging out.
I didn't really have that great of a time. Sorry.
Is it because of Ethan?
It was rough.
My bad.
It was awkward.
Okay. We'll talk after the aftercast. Lohan and Huffy.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay.
All right. You're listening live from the Path. I don't know. We're probably putting on a show next week. But in the meantime, be faithful in the means. God will handle the ends. You've been listening to Live from the Path.